How you doing today, Dave?
All right. Pretty good. Pretty good. It's a nice day out. Very blue sky.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Are you on speakerphone?
No, I got my earbuds or ear.
Oh, okay.
AirPods.
If you could make sure just to speak as loud as you can without actually like fucking up your rhythm or anything. I'm just in the car and I want to be able to make sure I can hear you so I can have a decent little back and forth. And I'll jack my volume up too.
is that better? I pushed my volume up. I don't know if that's my ear volume or my voice volume.
You know what? Actually, I just went to fucking speakerphone, so fuck it. That sounds way better.
Okay.
Well, all right, man. I am on some highway going towards Nashville. On the way down to Mississippi, Clarksdale, Mississippi, going to take some blues tourism deals. I'm going to see where Robert Johnson supposedly sold his soul and basically where the Delta Blues all started. And then going to Memphis in the next couple days. What are you doing today, Dave?
I went to Target. I think I'm going to walk the dog a couple times. I might watch some college football.
Right.
And I'm also starting to get into this presidential election. Have you heard about this?
I have heard about it, yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to elect a president, a whole new president, on Tuesday.
Really?
And, yeah. And so I just realized that, and I started looking at this map on Real Clear Politics. You know? Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they have a handy tool where you can click buttons and make the little states. There's a map, and there's states, and there's buttons on the states, and you can make like a state be red or blue. And I think the blue is for this fellow named Joseph R. Biden, who's he's a bit older fella. And then the red one is for Donald Trump.
Oh, the current guy, right?
Yeah, he used to be on The Apprentice.
He didn't do anything before that. I mean, he's basically, from what I heard, just a talk show host, right?
Yeah, he's a kind of a grifter / talk show host. All kidding aside, some people think he's the God Emperor, you know?
Yeah.
So you can look at it from either angle. I choose to just, you know, think about you're fired, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Hopefully, I don't know. I wonder if they'll fire him this time. Well, did you come to any conclusions about who might win or like anything that's happening?
I wouldn't say so. I think there's some conclusions that you can make, and I've been clicking around this map here. And right now, there are sort of like – it's showing states that are likely to go certain ways, you know? And then they have toss-up states. And there's this thing called the Electoral College I just learned about. And and so you need 270 of these Electoral College professors to win the election.
Okay.
And right now, when you look at these, based on the polls and the polling averages, They're saying that Mr. Joseph R. Biden would have 216 Electoral College professors vote for him, and Mr. Donald Trump would have 125 Electoral College professors vote for him. And there are 197 professors who don't know who to vote for yet.
I see. I see.
Yeah. And that's because some of these states the polls don't have a really clear idea of how these states are going to vote. And those states include Nevada, which has 6 professors, Arizona, which has 11, Texas, which has 38, Minnesota, which has 10, Iowa, which has 6, Wisconsin, which has 10, Michigan, which has 16, Ohio, which has 18, Pennsylvania, which has 20, North Carolina, which has 15, Georgia, which has 16, and Florida, which has 29.
Wow, so there's a lot up for grabs this time around.
There is. There's almost 200. There's 197. And so I have been fiddling with this map to see which way the professors would vote, and I have come to a sort of conclusion in that essentially Mr. Biden, he really needs to win Minnesota,
okay,
and Nevada, or else the whole shit can. It's just going to be a landslide. On the alternate token, Mr. Trump pretty much needs to win Georgia and Texas, or else we're looking at a landslide the other way. If Biden wins Georgia and Texas, Georgia or Texas, he's going to win this whole thing. So,
oh, wow.
I think those are pretty, those are things that we can kind of take for granted.
How is Texas looking for Mr. Biden?
Mr. Biden, I don't think it's looking very good for Mr. Biden. He's not really a Texas guy, He doesn't like the oil. He doesn't like the big hats.
Right, right. He said something about that in that last debate, I remember.
He did. He said he didn't like oil. He said he wanted to transition to wind and solar.
Yeah.
And the Green New Deal, He likes the Green New Deal. And I don't think they like it that much in Texas. And also, importantly, what's kind of showing up is that there are a lot of Hispanic, Latinos, Latinas in Texas. And the polls are showing that Mr. Trump is starting to make some headway into that demographic, which I think will help him in Texas and solidify, they'll join with the oil barons and give Mr. Trump the Texas victory there. I don't think that one's going to be that close.
I was watching TikTok, you know how I do. I'm on TikTok all day long, and I saw some crazy-looking rappers hanging out with the current president. Not any rappers that seem to be super modern, but like definitely like some classic style rappers like of ages ago, at least the last few years. And I wondered if you thought that would have any influence on African Americans at large, or do you think those are just businessmen who don't see color as much as they just see the color of green, rather, their money, or what you thought of that whole phenomenon, rappers like cultural African American cultural figures posing with the president.
Sure. Well, on the news, they'll say, or if you're Chelsea Handler, you might say, these famous rappers are going to cause other African Americans to vote for Mr. Trump.
Yeah.
Which I think is a bit, patronizing. I think really what it's more indicative of is that the president has done certain things and acts in certain ways that makes him more popular with African Americans than previously Republicans, and that includes people like Lil Wayne and Chingy and Ice, like these Kanye West that, who they're representative of a population. They're not necessarily going to draw in other voters, I don't think, but I think it's a good sign, and that is showing up in the polls. But yeah, so I think there is that kind of like Trump is doing better with African American males and Hispanics than he did last time, but he's also doing worse with the elderly and suburban ladies.
Really?
That's the word, That's what they say on the TV.
Is the elderly situation COVID related?
That's what they say on the TV. You know, like, I haven't looked at any polls, but possibly, you know. You also hear both Biden and Trump kind of slinging back and forth at each other that Social Security is going to end and Medicare is going to end, and that's a common theme over time in the last 50 years or however long, you know, those programs have been around, that every politician throws out scare tactics that the other politician will get rid of those programs. But it doesn't seem that either one will, you know, honestly.
I kind of feel like if I was elderly, and I know people call it, let's say I was like older and elderly and like not really doing super well, you know, like my mind and my body, I feel like I might empathize with Joe Biden a little more, and I might actually vote for him because, like, well, he's like me, you know? And Trump, whereas Trump is more on the young whippersnapper side of 70, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I think, you know, well, Biden has, you know, he's a gaffe machine. Yeah, he's kind of garbles words and stuff, and he seems like he has dementia. And I don't know. I think the elderly have more experience with sort of dementia and sharp. There's plenty of sharp elderly people who kind of know those signs and see their friends sometimes kind of cascade, and probably have a better view of what's really going on with Biden than anybody else. So,
wow, that's very interesting.
So I'm not too sold on, you know, this big, like, you know, the elderly going Democrat big when they, you know, voted Trump last time. I don't necessarily believe that.
Well, it's very interesting with the polls because, you know, people talk about this term that I believe the Democrats started a long time ago. They talk, it's called fake news. And I wondered if fake news, as in, like, you know, basically propaganda from one side or the other, can translate into fake polls to an extent and be meant as a suppression tool, you know, to depress people. You know, everybody I talk to, it's fairly sure Trump's going to lose. I mean, the same thing happened 4 years ago. You know, you just keep hearing that it's going to be Biden all the way, and he's way up. I mean, I don't see how that could be possible, who Biden is, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It's sort of, you look at the polls, and it's looking like a Biden landslide, but sort of everything else you see around you, and kind of if you look at certain things in context, it doesn't make any sense. And then you have, you know, like Michigan here, you're seeing, like, the polls are still favoring Biden by quite a bit, but the early voting, which was supposed to be kind of dominated by Democrats, is actually being dominated by Republicans. And yet everybody's still saying Michigan's going Biden just because the polls are saying it. So reality is going to set in Tuesday night as these results come in, and it could be very different from what the polls are saying. And really, you know, we'll learn if polling is a dead art or a dead science fiction.
Right.
Due to sort of the moving to cell phones, due to sort of everybody understanding that, yeah, I mean, or not wanting to take time to do polls, and it's just nobody thinks it's important anymore.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with the phone lines, your sample set, even if you're 50-50 Republican-Democrat, your sample set is still people with frickin' rotary phones, you know? And those are folks who watch the news, like CBS and NBC News. Those aren't exactly your folks who get their information from alternative sources or whatever. So I think there's just a built-in bias in terms of, even if you're Republican, you're Republican who is a bit, like, out of the loop. I think polling is in trouble. If this election doesn't turn out like they say, they're going to have to change the way they do things.
I've heard that initially with the Democrats. They were talking about mail-in voting all the way and all this stuff. But now they're starting to try to switch it to, like, they're starting to freak out. Some of their, you know, ballots aren't going to get there on time. So they're telling them to go in and vote in person. Now, that's very interesting. I always assumed that on the day of, the Republicans would probably win that day because they seem a little less afraid of COVID. I'm not sure if that's because of the news sources they watch or what. But how do you see that playing out, Dave? Do you feel like we're going to get a fair amount of Democrats voting day of?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have heard about problems, potential problems with mail-in votes where there's a high error rate where maybe somebody doesn't sign something or they put it in the wrong envelope and it's invalidated. So it's much riskier. Plus, you know, it might get lost in the mail. That's a low probability, but it's possible. So I think the Democrats were pushing mail-in voting because it was easier. Because they have trouble with turnout with young people and with some of their constituencies, lower income constituencies sometimes, they, you know, don't always turn out in great numbers. So they're really trying to push mail-in voting because I think they thought it would be easier and people wouldn't have to do anything. You wouldn't have to get off your ass to vote. But... you know, I think if you're going to vote, you're going to vote. You know, if you're not going to vote, you're not going to vote.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and then they realize, like, yeah, there's a higher potential of error. There's a higher potential if we're mailing in a large percentage of our ballots, a lot of them will be invalidated. And then, yeah, that's not going to help turn out. So I guess my concern is, you know, if somebody already mailed in a ballot, what's the safeguard against them walking in and voting? I assume there is. There has to be some way of tracking that.
Yeah.
I guess I just hope that that's not a thing where people have mailed in their ballots and now Democrats are saying go vote in person, and a lot of people do both. That would be bad.
Well, Trump did advocate for the same thing, but his was under the guise of, you know, testing the system.
Well, can't say he didn't try.
So go vote twice. So.
Vote early, vote often. Well, they used to do that, like back in the day. Like I don't know. I hear my grandma tell stories about, my grandfather used to kind of run a polling area. He was like fire chief, and that's what they would go around saying: vote early, vote often. I think there's stricter controls now, which is good. But it's not like, you know, I mean, it's not a new thing. Sure as hell ain't a new thing. It's probably getting better.
You know, there is a narrative, Dave, out there that, you know, and I just judge by the headlines I see from, because I know, generally speaking, what publications online, which side they swing from, left or right, you know. And it seems like we're talking about record turnout, and it's always coming from your CNNs online and your Washington Post and all this. And so, to me, they're touting that because, in their opinion, record turnout, we're going to blow Trump out of the water, you know, because everybody's so pissed off at Trump. Okay, you know, fair enough. I mean, there's been enough division, enough propaganda against the man, or in some of his own, you know, fallacies or whatever, you know, his foibles, I should say. Sorry, I'm trying to negotiate some roads here. I'm driving. But I feel like the past year has pissed off. I mean, I don't see necessarily that the left is any more pissed off at the right than the right is pissed off at the left. But I feel like these early voting, like you said, could be very heavily right-wing, or, you know, let's just say Republican. You know, because people are fucking pissed. The last year, the way the left has conducted themselves in the streets, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of the things that may be throwing off the polling this year to a much larger degree than it has been off in the past is that starting in 2016, the Republican ground game really kicked in and started registering new voters.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of the new registrants were, like, sort of non-college-educated white people.
Like myself.
like yourself. And so the Republican voter rolls have increased. And like in Ohio, I believe there are more Republicans now than there are Democrats, which is very new. That's the first time that's been the case in a long time. So the polls tend to oversample Democrats. So if you're oversampling Democrats in Ohio now, that's totally ass backwards, because you should be oversampling Republicans. So that may be the case in a lot of different places where Republican registrations have increased over the past 4 years, and the polls are just that they're still using the 2016 registration data. So that kind of makes the oversampling of Democrats even more egregious than it was 4 years ago.
So what happens if Biden wins, man? How do you think the society reacts?
Well, I'd rather kind of go into these scenarios of how Biden could win or how Trump could win or what happens if these states go in different directions with this little handy map.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if the biggest remaining, we went through all those kind of states that we think kind of have to go Democrat, with Minnesota and Nevada, and the states that kind of have to go Republican, Georgia and Texas. Otherwise, there's just a landslide. The biggest remaining state is Florida with 29 electoral votes. Now, say that goes to Biden. Yes. That puts him at 261 of those college professors, and he only needs 9 more. So all he would have to do would be to win one of North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, or Arizona. And I think if Biden does win Florida, it's pretty damn certain that he would win one of those other states, say Wisconsin, right? That if he were to win Florida and Wisconsin and lose everything else, he would be the next president with 271 electoral votes. So what that tells me is that Trump needs to win Florida as well.
How's he doing there, Dave?
I believe he's doing okay. Let me look. So I'm on the Trafalgar Group website, which is actually the one that got it right last time, but it's also the one that is really kind of different from the other polls. Mm-hmm. It's really the only one that's it's showing Trump up 3. I'm back on Real Clear Politics. Right now, the average of recent polls shows Biden up 1.2% over Trump, 48.4 to 47.2. The most recent polls are split. That's Hill and Harris had Biden plus 3. The Trafalgar Group had Trump plus 3. The other late October polls all show Biden up, well, except for one. Yeah, I mean, so you got a ranging, you know, Biden plus 4, Biden plus 6, Biden plus 3, Biden plus 2, Trump plus 4, blah, blah, blah. But essentially right now, according to the polls, Biden is winning. However, there tends to be in the margin of error. And what I heard James Carville say, you know, he was kind of freaked out the other day and was worried about the turnout in South Florida, saying we need to get off our butts in South Florida and get out and vote, meaning that they weren't seeing the numbers that they even saw in 2016 when they lost Florida. So they need South Florida to turn out big.
Wow.
And it's not happening yet.
Big for the Democrats. I hear that Latinos, you know, with the help of Jorge Gabriel Masvidal, maybe, you know, they turn out for Trump, Latinos?
I think so. With the Cuban folks down in South Florida tend to be very anti-socialist because they kind of had to live through it, or at least, you know, their parents did or grandparents. And so that they tend to be more conservative than other Latino groups.
Tell me a little bit about Pennsylvania. That's the state I left this morning, about at 5 in the morning. And, you know, it's generally speaking, at least in the rural area, Trump, as far as the eye can see, I mean, there's many monuments to the man, like big hay bales look like his hair and shit. You know, they dress him up. pretty wild. But then again, they're rioting in Philadelphia. You can assume Philly's not going to go strongly for Trump, you know, to say the least. But how do you see Pennsylvania? Cause from what I've heard, it is indeed a keystone state for this election. Like, it might be the deciding factor. What do you say about that?
Yeah. So the Trafalgar group in the middle of October had Biden up by a couple points, and now the one that was released less than a week ago has Trump up 1 point. So, and then the Real Clear Politics average has Biden up 3.7, with him up as much as 7 during last week. A couple have ties or Trump plus 2. And this is, we talked about the frackers, frackers,
oil.
Fracking oilmen. Apparently that's big business in Pennsylvania. And Biden said something that I think he wishes he could take back during that debate. Although it's true and it's not exactly new, you know, I mean, it was the policy of the Obama administration. It is pretty much like, and it's not even a bad policy. Like, of course, yes, over time, we probably want to transition away from fossil fuels, you know.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily say that in Pennsylvania or Texas. So since he made that statement, Trump has been gaining ground, it seems. So that's going to be a toss-up. That's going to be one of those, like, we'll find out. And but we can say, let's go back to this map. It keeps refreshing, so it's screwing up my thing here. But if Trump wins Florida and he wins Pennsylvania, it's still, you know, I mean, there's still a lot to go, but you say, okay, if Trump wins Pennsylvania, he'll likely win Ohio. He's doing better in the polls in Ohio than he is in Pennsylvania. Then you're left with like 5 swing states, you know, you still got North Carolina, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Arizona. Now, Trump is pretty much leading the polls in Arizona. So if Trump takes Pennsylvania, Ohio, Arizona, and Florida, he's got essentially, let's see. Yeah, he's got 2 states that could give it to him. He's got Michigan or North Carolina. So if he wins Pennsylvania and Arizona, he only has to win either North Carolina or Michigan.
I see. You know, it's very interesting. This week they had, I think his name was Sundar Pichai, the guy from Google, and Jack Dorsey, and Zuckerberg, right. You know, and it's like they're talking about big tech, and, you know, it always seems like the people in the, like the senators and congressmen, whoever is grilling these people, is always like, they're like, really behind, you know, the tech people are like really just kind of running circles because the people, you know, in the government don't really understand it exactly, aside from there's something fishy going on. And I do think that big tech as a whole tends to be to the left and is kind of putting their thumb on the election process. But, you know, this week was, to me, a little bit too late, you know, too little too late. You know, this was apparent back when Democrats won the House, right, when they banned Alex Jones 6 months before that all happened, and they really started transforming things. It's great if they break up Google, if things become a little more objective, but I think the damage is done for this election, and Do you see big tech having an influence over this election, like enough to swing it one way where it shouldn't belong?
Well, I think you can see that in just the polls. Like, if you have a brain and you're voting for Joe Biden, there's a decent chance you've been brainwashed.
Right. Agreed.
And, I'm obviously a lot of people would disagree with that. but, you know, like, it allows the Democrats to put such a shit candidate up and not really have to kind of try. It's like, we can, you know, we don't have to have a real primary. We can just steal it for our vessel, our empty vessel that, you know, we can just have a administration around and him be this, like, figurehead kind of like for a while until we transition to Harris. but it allows them to get away with so much shit that if they didn't get away with all that stuff, A, it would be a much better country. And yes. B, they would, you know, because they would have to try harder, you know, they would have to, and that's not just Democrats, it's Republicans too. I mean,
have been trying very, very hard for a long time, to get, and they've kind of sharpened their knives. And now when you hear the guys on the right, you know, so-called, you know, your Tim Pool, your Alex Jones is just a madman, but, like, you know what I mean. Like, they have such a great argument, it seems like, you know, compared to anybody on the left. I mean, I don't know, the Young Turks, perhaps. But there's not a lot of people on the left that seem to be inspiring the hearts and minds. You understand? You know what I mean?
I do. I think the Democrats have turned into, the Democratic Party has turned into, essentially, the party of George W. Bush. They're essentially neoconservative authoritarians. I don't think Bush was an authoritarian, but he was certainly a kind of a, you know, a neoconservative. And the Democrats have been joined by these Bill Kristol folks and George Will and all these establishment folks.
Yeah, right.
And really, that's not news. That's not known. If half the liberals in the country really understood what their party was, they wouldn't be voting Democrat. They're voting for foreign wars. You know, like, what the hell is wrong with you? You know, like, you think you're liberal and you're voting to bomb other countries.
This week at work, I got called hardcore right wing. And I was like, okay, so I'm a Trump fan, and that guy got 4 Nobel Peace Prizes, you know, defends the Jews all day long, but somehow I'm a hardcore right wing. I think you guys don't know what the fuck you're talking about, you know?
Yeah, no, I was thinking about the other day, and we probably have to have a whole nother podcast about it, because I don't think that the definitions of yesteryear meet the reality of today, where you have essentially this, you know, big tech is not supporting Democrats because they're communists. But you have, like, this kind of communist aspect, and then, like, big tech is more of a fascist entity. And you have this coming together of these extremes, and there seem to be going against what is good old American capitalism, which is represented by Donald Trump. And so that's, you know, that's one thing that maybe not in the polls or in the common discourse that Trump has going for him, but it is something that he has going for him from my perspective, is that there's a lot of radicalism out there with a lot of power that is held over from ages ago. And Trump's kind of just being like, why can't we just be American capitalists? Isn't that, like, normal? You know, isn't that not extreme? And they're all calling him an extremist and stuff. You got fascists calling him a fascist.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the fascist who refuses to do top-down policy regarding COVID or whatever, you know. He's letting the states decide. It's like, he is actually the true anti-fascist, you know. What would the left be happy if he just, you know, from the top down, total mask mandate. I guess that did happen for, what, a couple weeks maybe?
Well, I mean, your broader question is, your broader question is, would they be happy if he actually exercised certain powers? And I think in part, yes, because that would open the door for them to do it in the future. And it would also give them, you know, they would egg him on to do it, and then as soon as he did it, they would bash him as a fascist. You know, they would say, you did this, you know, like, so it's a bait and switch kind of job. And it's also a opening that they're moving the Overton window or making the Overton window wider that they can jump through and be like, well, there's precedent for actually forcing people to wear masks at gunpoint, you know, and yeah, wear a mask, fascist, you know, that's just a contradictory statement, right? You know, like you're yelling at somebody to do something and then you're calling them an authoritarian. It's really odd.
And we keep hearing this notion of if Trump wins, like, oh man, they're going to burn the White House down. They're going to, you know, they're going to tear up the city. And somehow that's like an acceptable notion. You know, it's almost like, well, hey, Trump is, you know, it's kind of like you draw Mohammed in France and get your fucking head cut off. And all of a sudden they're like, well, he kind of had it coming, you know, like it's so fucking ridiculous. You know, in no way, shape or form does this country have it coming to destroy the fucking country when one of our, you know, one side or the other of our major political parties is elected, you know what I mean? I've never heard something so ridiculous in my life.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like the last few years have been a threat, just pure and simple, at the American people, you know?
These dirty
just from the cancel culture, you know, act and speak as we like, or you're out of here. To the more violent riots and stuff of, you better watch out. You know, like you better vote Democrat, or there's going to be riots. And I like scared people.
Just guys had it coming. Like, why the fuck did Donald Trump have it coming? You know, if he walked out into the street, they would do him like they did Gaddafi. You understand? And if Obama walked in the street, they would praise him. And what is that? Why is that? Is it because he's fucking Nazi or evil? No, I think it's propaganda, and I think people fall prey to it every single fucking day.
Yeah, and that goes back to the big tech kind of brainwashing. And I mean, maybe we're brainwashed just in a different way. I mean,
right, could be.
But that would be sort of like even scarier, where it's just like everybody's brainwashed. And I guess, you know, unless you're living out in the forest getting your own stuff, you know, or whatever, you know, and don't have any media, you're going to be influenced by what you see around you. And I guess the important thing is always to try to get both sides, which I've done for the last year, but I've had to stop because it's just like this, you know, I can't watch Morning Joe anymore. Like, it drove me crazy. I was, even though everything they said I kind of disagreed with, I started finding myself being more anti-Trump and for no particular reason, you know, and it just took somebody saying something that, you know, made a lot of sense to kind of bring me back.
On the right track.
But yeah. So, like, even though I was watching and I didn't agree, and I found it really just, you know, I could clearly see that it was propagandistic, but it really did get to me after a few months. So there's something going on there where, you know, they know how to, I mean, there's marketing firms for the last 100 years have known how to psychologically tune people to do certain things, whether it be buy a product or, you know, mostly it's for to buy a product. But I think it can be adapted to vote a certain way, or at least like feel a certain way about something. You know, if they can make you want to buy Coca-Cola, they can make you want to vote against Donald Trump.
And that's it. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think both sides absolutely have the propensity for, you know, absolute power corrupting them. But I think that's the deal. The left has much more power. And so they're much more corrupt. It's as simple as that. If the right owned most of the major media that we hear about, it'd be the same shit reverse, you know?
Yeah. And like I said, you know, I mean, like, and we had a podcast on censorship like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And I think on that one, I kept trying to bring up the point, well, it's not left, it's not right. You know, it's a narrative. And I think, you know, again, we can talk about that later, but it's,
yeah.
You know, it's just this power structure, and I don't even know whether to call it left or right. It's more of a merging of the radical parts of both the left and the right.
Interesting, man. Interesting. Well, that's awesome, man. Dude, I'm driving. I think we've covered a lot of great ground, and I don't want the reception to start getting screwy. But this is great. I'm going to... Dave, unless there's some other things you wanted to talk on, I mean, I'm feeling pretty good.
Okay. Well, I mean, it is Halloween, and I did watch the movie Halloween last night. And I got to tell you, that's fucking fake. That's not real. Michael Myers got shot like six times. He got shot like six times, and he walked away. That's not real. Come on.
Yeah. It's he took a lot of damage. He's definitely undead or something, you know. Didn't he come from the bottom of a lake?
No, you're thinking of Jason Voorhees.
That's right. My favorite, the one that I vibed with somehow, I got to see the movies, the one and three, actually, are the only ones worth a shit. You know what I'm about to say. Fred fucking Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street.
That's a good movie. I watched the first one. I think that starred Johnny Depp.
Yeah, it did.
I don't think I've seen the third one. I saw like Dream Warriors or something, which
so
is number
that is,
five.
That is the third. No, that's the third one.
Oh, that's the third one? Okay, that was cool. That was like a heavy metal movie.
Yeah. Welcome to prime time, bitch.
That's what Trump should say on the fucking inauguration.
Dude, he should start just dancing at his inauguration if he gets, like, I mean, just act a fool and, like, be pointing at him and, like,
yeah. Bring Uncle Luke up there, get some ashes bouncing.
For sure, man. Well, listen, thanks, man, for getting on this show, and I'm going to put it out tonight, dude.
All right, sounds good. Have a good time in Clarksdale.
I just passed some cops on the phone, and we'll see if they fucking arrest me now. Okay.
Let's hope not.
All right. All right, Dave. Talk to you soon. Thanks, man.
Yep. Later on. Bye.
You did. Dave?